Again, as I mentioned during this time dedicated to praying the rosary, I like to pray and reflect upon two mysteries, the third and the fourth joyful mysteries. So what we'll do is I'll read the little scripture passage. We'll have, again, some time of silence, and then we'll pray the Decad. And then after that, I'll offer a little bit more silence time before we move to the scripture passage in connection with the fourth mystery. And at the end, there might be a little bit more time that you can use for just quiet prayer if there's a little bit of reading you want to finish up, or if you need to get a couple things ready before coming to supper, you're welcome to do that too. And again, after this, the next event is supper at 6 o'clock. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And for the Nativity, this passage is taken from the second chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." When they had heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And along with considering the virtues of poverty and devotion, and there's other virtues we can consider too with the Nativity, maybe a few questions also to think of as we spend some time in reflection. Do we see Christ coming into our lives with his poverty and humility as good news? The fact that he calls us to be humble, he calls us to even be poor, do we see that as good news? What can we offer the Lord in return for his gifts to us? What is the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh that we can offer to the Lord? I consider that gold is a very kingly gift that's offered to those of royalty. Frankincense is offered to God, that we burn incense to God. And then myrrh is an oil that's used to bury the dead. And what does that mean in regards to our relationship with the Lord, he who died for us? Then also, can we help the poor Christ found in our neighbor who suffers from poverty, whether it be physical or spiritual or maybe some other type of poverty? And so some things to consider as we reflect upon this mystery. And before we move to the fourth joyful mystery, let me just mention that I don't know about you, but I get distracted. As we listen to the scripture passage, as we try to consider some of the thoughts, the virtues, the questions, and even some of the things that come to us, sometimes our minds sort of are going straight and they sort of go off into one direction. We start thinking about, I wonder what supper is tonight. We start thinking about, oh, I get a chance to talk in about 45 minutes and things like that. Or maybe you're thinking about what's happening at home, thinking of your family, thinking of things going on in the parish. There might be other things that come to mind, but don't be discouraged by the distractions that in some ways are actually part of prayer. I remember when I was going to spiritual direction back in the seminary, this wise priest, he was sort of like a hippie priest in some ways that I went to spiritual direction to when I was in New York, and he gave me an article that was entitled, the more you're distracted, the better you pray. And it was basically the point of the article was that part of prayer is the lifting up of one's mind and heart to God. That's a definition from St. John of Damascus. And we wouldn't have to lift up our minds and hearts if they were always there, but they're not always there. Our minds and hearts go elsewhere. In some ways, our minds and hearts, where they go, shows us both where our prayers need to go anyway, but also shows us that our minds and hearts are oftentimes not focused upon the Lord. And so as we pray the rosary, especially in this way where we do it a little bit more meditatively, that if we do get distracted, just to gently bring your mind back and to try to draw your mind back to the mystery that we're considering, and again, not to be discouraged by it. The fourth joyful mystery, the presentation of the child Jesus in the temple, and this passage is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And inspired by the Holy Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to thy people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against. And a sword will pierce through your own soul too, that the thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. And as we consider the virtues of sorrow, of gratitude, and others that may move your heart as we reflect upon this passage, maybe a few questions to consider too. Are we thankful for the gift of salvation that Jesus Christ brings to us? Do we recognize it as a gift? We consider that, that salvation is a gift, nothing that we earn on our own, but rather it is freely given. Consider how Christ remains a sign spoken against, a sign of contradiction, revealing where people's hearts are. That even to mention the name Jesus in our society moves hearts. And sometimes we see walls that go up because of the name of Jesus. And so a sign spoken against, a sign of contradiction. And maybe during this meditation, bring your sorrows to Mary, Mary who knows what it's like to have her heart pierced.